and welcome back to another episode of Your Pocket Nurse, a podcast for student and graduate nurses. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the original owners of the land on which I am recording on today. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Welcome back to Your Pocket Nurse and very first episode for 2022. I'm super excited to bring many exciting episodes this year and interview lots of interesting people. And today I'm actually joined by Nina, who is just about to finish her grad year, and her rotations were on a cardiothoracic ward and then ICU. And I believe she is now going to be undertaking postgraduate studies this year. So hello.
Hello.
Nina. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Very hot. It's like so muggy outside.
I know, it was pouring rain this morning and now like the sun's out. It's very typical Melbourne.
I know, it's, I feel like I'm like I couldn't live in Queensland because it's what it's always like, just tropical weather.
Yeah, the humidity is making my hair go insane.
I know, like I was planning to go out tomorrow with friends from work to like celebrate, you know, finishing my grad year and leaving the ward, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my hair because if it's going to be raining all night, I'm just going to be like Hagrid.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, so I usually ask everyone three questions just to sort of get to know everyone. So the first question is, like, why did you become a nurse? And if you weren't a nurse, what job do you think you'd have?
Ooh. I feel like I kind of fell into being a nurse when I was in year 12. I kind of didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I ended up applying for nursing, I think teaching and science. And I was kind of just like, well, wherever I end up, I'm sure I will enjoy. Because I don't have any nurses in my family. Well, not in my immediate family. So
that's right. Sorry. I think I lost you.
It wasn't really like I had anyone to like ask what nursing was like.
Yeah.
So yeah, when offers came out and stuff and I ended up in nursing, I was like, oh yeah, I could do this. Mm-hmm. And then I just loved it after my first placement. I was like, no, this is exactly what I want to do.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then, oh, what would I do? I see lots of different people who work on like the ward and the unit and stuff. And I think I'd like social work.
Yes, I agree. It's really interesting, like all the things they do. And
yeah, they have like a lot more involvement in like our patients' lives than we probably think they do. I think they do a lot of background stuff that we don't see. Mm-hmm. And I find that so interesting, especially in ICU because they do like so, so much for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's where I'd end up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think like depending on where you work as a social worker as well, I feel like it'd be really like a big burden as well on you. Like some of the stories you'd hear about, you know, people's social situations would be a bit hard, especially if you worked in like mental health area or like forensics or something like that. Yeah, it'd be a bit difficult.
Yeah, I think it would take like a special type of person. Like you'd have to have a really thick skin and like be able to emotionally detach really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with nursing with that as well, I guess it's depending on where you're working to extent you need that as well. But I find that like at the beginning of my grad year, I don't know about you, but I always like I found it so hard to let go of shifts. Like I would go home and I just think about everything and like, you know, just overanalyze everything rather than just like be able to let it go and just be like, okay, we'll move on now.
Yeah, no, 100%. I still feel like sometimes you go home and you're like, oh, I should have done that. Why didn't I do that? And then mm-hmm. No, I can't change it now. And the outcome wouldn't have been any different. So it's okay to let it go. But then you're still like, no, I feel like I should have done more. But it's such a learning thing. Like I feel like at the end of the day, you get to a point where you're like, no, I've done all I can and I'm happy with that.
Exactly. And I think the good thing about being a nurse is that when you go home, like there's nothing more we can do.
Yeah. For our patients.
You know what I mean? There's nothing, I can't chart anything from home. I can't write any notes from home. I can't do anything, you know? And I feel like it's just like you've handed over to the next nurse and that's their responsibility now, you know? Whereas so many other jobs is like, you know, teaching, you have to take home and mark everyone's tests. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, you know, doctors, they always get messages and they're like, I'm not at work right now. I'm like, oh, sorry. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, you know? I just say, it's even like with the pandemic and people who have to work from home. I'm like, wow, you have no work-life balance if you're working from home.
Yeah.
Whereas we just like leave the unit and it's like, okay, I'm off. And there's nothing, like, there's nothing more I can do. Whereas I feel like people who, like, log off their computer at home, you can still hear them getting emails. I would be like, oh, I've just got to do a little bit more.
I know, exactly. So I guess that's, you know, pro of nursing. Absolutely. I feel like right now everyone's really, like, you know, down. And I know a lot of, like, the people I work with are so burnt out. So I feel like, you know, try and be a little bit positive and think about the good things that are still, you know, good for us.
Yeah.
What do you think is your ultimate, like, area of nursing that you'd love to work in?
I obviously love ICU and I love where I am right now. And I could see myself working there for a really long time. But there's so many different avenues in nursing as well too. I think I want to do like outreach. I'm not sure if that's like what every hospital calls it, but it's like when you call like a met call or a rapid review or whatever and like the ICU team come.
Yeah, they are so knowledgeable.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to, we call them like the outreach nurse, or I think some people call them like the ICU liaison nurse.
Yeah, I think ours is called CNC, like just the ICU CNC liaison nurse, yeah.
But yeah, that's essentially what I want to do is like go to the met calls and the code blues. I feel like that's so interesting and like super hands-on. I'm not really interested in working a role where I lose like my hands-on skills.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's also just very like junior of me. You know how a lot of people are like, yeah, no, I could never leave bedside. And then like 10 years in, they're like, no, I need to leave bedside.
Yep. I always think that as a student, like, oh, being an A&M in charge would be so boring. Like, literally. You know, because as a student, I always wanted to be like, I want to do the IV antis. You know, you want to do all the fun stuff. And obviously the A&Ms just, you know, do like phone calls and type stuff on computers and stuff, you know. But I think now I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to have a little sit down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think maybe retrieval. Like going out on the helicopters and like picking up patients and stuff. But I think you might have to do para for that. And I don't know if I'm like, if I've got the grit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know one girl, it's actually funny, like a little random story, but you know the Victorian student graduate nursing page? Yeah, well anyway, the girl who like runs that, she worked at a hospital, and anyway, it was my first rotation and I was making a bed with one of the students and she was a third year and I was like, oh, you need to join this like page, like it's called the Victorian student graduate nursing page, blah blah blah. And then like because it was a patient room of three, and so like the patient opposite had like a visitor, and the visitor overheard and she's like, oh, my daughter made that page.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, oh my god, are you serious? I said, that page like saved me so many times. And I said, like, tell your daughter, like, we love it. And anyway, she was telling me that she actually was doing like retrievals, so I don't think she's a paramedic, but she would go out to the helicopter and, you know, get the patient from there and like take them to, I think she was an ED nurse or ICU. Oh, yeah. I don't know, but yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that's like something I feel like I'd be super interested in.
Yeah. Anyway, random stories. So you never know who is listening to what conversations.
Genuinely.
Yeah. What do you think has been your favorite clinical experience or moment, like whether it's been on placement or at work?
Ooh, I've had lots of good moments. I feel like this is, on like the second last day of my first rotation, I had a met call. And after that met call, it was like a really big met call. It went for like 2.5 hours or something. And we ended up taking the patient like to a scan. And that was the first time I'd been like really involved in a met call. And I remember thinking like, wow, like this, like I have done the right thing here. I have advocated for this patient. I have called the, like gotten the appropriate, what you call
care
it?
And everything. Yeah, yeah. You know, like escalated everything.
Yeah, yeah. And like people were saying, no, you've done the right thing. Like you've done really well. And I remember leaving being like, yeah, I have done really well. Like, that was a really tough met call, but, like, I got through it and, like, I did all I could do and, like, that patient was going to be okay because I had picked up on something.
Amazing, yeah. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, like, the more experience you get and the more exposed to different scenarios, the, like, quicker you pick up on things.
100%.
But I was like, oh, wow, like, I can see that I have, like, grown as a nurse.
Yeah, and that's the best feeling. Yeah. Like, knowing that, you know, maybe like at the start of your grad year, you would have been like, oh, I don't know what to do. I think they're fine. And, yeah, you know, and then it's like someone else comes and says, oh, no, actually, I think something's, you know, wrong. And it's not because, like, you know, we're bad nurses at the start. It's because you don't have any experience to, you know, think back on and like, this doesn't look right because usually it shouldn't be like this, you know?
Yeah. And I remember my first met call, I think it was like 2 weeks into being a grad and I didn't know what to do. All I could stand there was like, I just stood there and answered questions because I didn't have like the knowledge or the skills to be like, okay, yep, I'll prime this line. I'll do this. We'll get this ready. Someone get this. Like, whereas now I'm like, okay, I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, especially with all your ICU experience now, you've got it.
Yeah. Still so much more learning to go, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it felt really good. And it was a nice, like, sad that I had to have a met call on my second last day. And I was doing a late early as well. So I came back the next day and I was like, oh, I feel so gross.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, it's shown that I have grown in my first 6 months. And I was, like, super proud of myself. So, yeah.
Well done. That's really good. So now going on a bit more, like I asked, you know, questions on my Instagram and everyone was just, you know, wanting to find out all about ICU. So can you just tell us, like, what is the ICU? Like, paint us a picture of what it looks like for those that haven't been inside one, and like, what type of patients do you expect? And, you know, it's very different to ward nursing, you know, even ratio wise, but just like the complexities of the patients. So just, you know, just paint us a picture.
The ICU, obviously the intensive care unit, we get a whole bunch of variety of patients. And most of the time it's one-to-one care. So it's like just you and the patient. They're hooked up to like constant monitoring. So we can see their blood pressure at all times, like their heart rate, their SATs, you know, there's an ECG trace. We can see all of it. And there's lots of other little things that we can plug in and add to them so we can see different things on the screen. But we can pretty much see the whole patient, like the whole patient picture all the time, which is amazing. But we need it because obviously we get patients who are very, very unwell. So we get a lot of post-op patients who know, like, it's known that they're coming to ICU. So, like, people who've had bypass or had, like, a big 8-hour operation, or we get a lot of neuro patients who need, like, one-to-one monitoring for the first couple of days or whatever. And then we get a lot of admissions from ED. So people who have to be intubated in ED, or, you know, their blood sugar's really off, or, you know, there's, you know, their sodium's really off as well and they could have a seizure at any second. So we get lots of, like, very critical ED admissions. And then we also get lots of patients from the ward who've had a met call. And, you know, if they need a little bit more monitoring or they need one-to-one care, because obviously the ratio on the ward is very different, and looking after those patients who are really, really unwell post a met call can be really difficult. I remember looking after a patient that I had a met call on, and trying to juggle three other patients as well was, like, insane.
Yeah, 100%. You really need to rely on someone else to just help pick up your slack.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. Like, and you're like, oh, no, I haven't done 8 o'clock meds. And, like, you know, it's 8:45. And you're like, oh, man, I've got so much to catch up on. Whereas, you know, in ICU, it's just you and the patient, which is amazing. And very thorough. Everything is always very well, like, thought through. And we know literally every detail about the patient. Like, I could pretty much tell you that they've got a mole on their back, and, like, exactly where it is. Like, we have seen, like, all of it. It's it's such a good, like, way to think about the patient. And you learn so much because you're thinking about everything all the time.
Because you really focus on, like, every body system.
Yeah,
you know? and just know it inside and out. And I feel like that's why I'm sort of like interested in it, because it's just so amazing, like everything that you learn and, you know, everything you need to apply to, like, you know, look after the patient as well. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and it makes you realize, like, you get a lot of brain connections, if that makes sense. So you're like, oh yeah, we're doing this for this, which also impacts on this, and you're like, wow, I hadn't thought about it that way, but now I know.
Yeah,
and you see why they do certain things and the way that it affects the patient, and I think that's amazing.
That's really good and exciting. What would you say would be like the best and worst thing about working at NICU in your own experience?
Let's go with the worst part first. We get a lot of delirious patients. Because obviously, like in ICU, we don't put our patients in the shower and then they go to bed and then they wake up the next morning. There's no night and day in ICU.
Yeah.
It's just 24 hours all the time. And so I think our patients, especially when they're intubated, they lose track of, you know, the day and the night, so they can get quite delirious and confused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one aspect that's kind of not as great. But obviously we can use a lot of things to combat delirium, and to try and improve it so that we can get them to the ward quicker, to set them back into a bit more of a routine.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with that, I think, when I first started, because I'm like a very gentle soul. And so having patients get angry and like confused at me, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. But you get better at it eventually.
Yeah.
I think the only other bad part, a lot of people, this is really sad, but like there's a lot of deaths in ICU, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that also really hard. I still find that really hard, because you spend a lot of time with the patient and with the family. And watching someone lose a loved one is like heartbreaking in itself, let alone when you've spent the last 8 hours looking after the patient.
Death is really hard. Like, and I think that we sort of don't really learn enough about it at uni, and sort of how to deal with the emotional side of, you know, comforting family, and, you know, and I don't know, usually the doctors sort of, you know, have the big conversations with the patient's families. But then, you know, as nurses, we're kind of the ones that sort of have to do all the cleaning up with them, you know, and absolutely, like kind of making families feel better. And we're the one talking to them, because the doctors will come and then go, and then we're there. And I think that sort of makes me a bit nervous, because I just don't know what to say. Like, as a 21-year-old young person, like, what sort of wisdom, or what can I say to their families? You know, it's hard.
Yeah, I think it's been really hard at the moment with COVID, because previous to probably like a couple months ago, you couldn't visit someone if they were dying with COVID. Very, very hard to. And I think that's really hard, because we'd FaceTime families and just watching them break down over FaceTime. And there's like, you know, you can only use words to comfort them, but, you know, there's only so much you can say.
So are they now allowed to come into hospital?
I think you have to fit a very specific criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But we often do have families who come in like fully dressed in PPE. They get to come in and essentially say goodbye, or if they're very close to going, be with them for as long as they can. Which is good.
It's very hard.
I
think there needs to be a lot more sort of education for like grads and, I don't know, nurses in general, and students and everyone, just about how to deal with death.
100%. It's kind of like what we were talking about before, when like you have to be able to let go and like go home and let go of things. I think that like patients dying is like one thing that I've had to learn how to let go of very quickly. Because you just can't take it home.
I know, it's sad, because we had this patient on the ward, and they were kind of coming, they had a very long stay, and then they were discharged, and then they came back, And then I think they went home again. And then they were getting care at home through like our HIF or whatever. Mm. But they were so unwell, so they kept coming back. And then eventually that patient passed away on the ward. And it was just so sad because, you know, I had seen the patient at their best, yeah. You know, sort of thing. Like they were very happy person and very lovely. And I don't know. And now you think that they're not here anymore and I met their family. And it's just, you know, it's just so sad how patients can deteriorate, especially if you're not sort of expecting them to pass.
Yeah.
I never thought that they would die. You know what I mean? I knew that they were sick, but I was like, they're not that sick that they're going to sort of die soon. Do you get what I mean? And I think that's sort of hits you hard. It's when, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah. And I think coming from the ward into ICU, I obviously had a very like optimistic attitude and I still do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you go in and you're like, oh, this person can recover. And then mm-hmm. other staff are like, obviously have had a lot more experience and they're like, oh no, they usually get a little bit better and then they just get worse.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, that's like heartbreaking to see.
Yeah. Especially families, you know, if they don't understand that and they're like,
oh, yeah,
better, like, you know, but then obviously experienced nurses and, you know, health professionals are like, but, you know, they're not actually getting better. It's just like sort of false hope.
Yeah. But apart from that, there's really good things in ICU.
Yeah, do tell us.
I feel like your critical thinking skills increase so much. And you can really see things and pick up on things very quickly when they're going south, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much about everything that when you get patients who are nice and like easy per se, it's good because you can really break down things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is why XYZ has happened and this is what we're going to do for the patient. And then if the doctor says, oh, let's do something else, you go, oh, why? And you can question them, which is kind of also leading to like another great thing is autonomy. You have so much autonomy as a nurse in ICU, which is amazing. You know, ASEAN's down, we can just replace it. We don't have to like ask them for an order because we always.
Wow, that's amazing.
Continuous order for potassium.
Yeah.
And like, oh, hey, I think my patient's going to need high flow. Yep. Will you just initiate that yourself? Obviously, you tell them, being like, hey, patient's not looking too good. They're starting to desat, blah, blah, blah. I've already got them on nasal prongs. I'm just going to start the high flow. Are you happy?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, awesome. And there's doctors around all the time, which is also like a great thing because it's good to like be able to bounce off people and you form really good bonds with them, which is nice.
Yeah. Do you have residents in ICU or are they all like regs onwards?
We have, so my ICU has like two sections essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one consultant for each side. And then under that consultant, we have a senior reg and a junior reg.
Nice.
And under the junior reg, we have a resident.
Okay, nice. Yeah, yeah, because I was going to say, you know, obviously there's no interns in ICU.
No.
Oh, nice. Do you think that you have a lot more sort of teamwork in ICU compared to like the wards with the doctors?
Yeah, I feel like when I worked on the ward, it was very much like, oh, we'll just page or whatever. Whereas now you rock up and you're like, oh, hey, so-and-so in bed 5, I need to do this, this, and this. And they're like, yeah, cool, sweet. I'll chart it now for you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I find that similar to the CCU at my work is because obviously like the residents, they only have like 3-month rotations in a area. And especially when they start, they ask us so many questions, but they really rely on the CCU nurses because they're the ones that have been there for like 20, 30 years, some of them, you know, like they know it all.
Yeah.
And so I think it's nice sort of that, you know, everyone can work together towards like, you know, the shared goal of like helping the patient rather than sort of being like hierarchical about, you know, who's done more, whatever.
Yeah.
About everything. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah. They like, there's so much teamwork. Like when we need to intubate someone, there's a lot of nursing staff involved plus a lot of doctors and they're very mm-hmm. like, okay, Nina. It's not like, oh, sorry, what's your name? It's like, okay, yes, I know you. You're going to do this, 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 and we're all going to work together to do this common goal. I think it's really nice at the moment, despite the fact we're having like a code brown in Victoria.
Yeah.
My hospital has said that medical staff can cover nurses' breaks.
Really?
Yeah. Because
that's so bizarre.
Yeah, we actually, I don't think we have enough staff, or we don't have enough floating staff to cover everyone's breaks. So they're like, oh, well, if the doctors aren't doing anything, they can just cover the nurses' breaks.
Mm.
And that's like kind of nice in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because like we're all one big team.
Yeah. That's interesting. I can't imagine asking someone to cover my patients.
I think it's like a very last resort thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're also feeling it as much as we are feeling it. So they do what they can
to help everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Talking more about being a grad in ICU. So were you doing a TSP type program when you were doing it, or were you just working in ICU without any necessarily program behind you?
So when we started, we did like, I think we did 3 weeks of supernumerary.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we started our TSP program. And we did like 6 weeks of online learning. Like we had classes every week. And from that, we had 6 assessments that we had to do. And when you get those assessments, essentially, when you do those assessments, you can take more complex patients.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good because you had the foundation of knowledge behind you, because obviously there's so much to know in ICU, like, you know, arterial lines, different CVCs, different measurements on the screen, you know.
And learning what everything means.
Yeah, pretty much. And being able to read a blood gas and essentially knowing when to escalate is like something that we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when something's wrong, what do you do? You know, and we take ventilated patients, so we had to learn all about the ventilator. Yeah, we pretty much did like a whole really in-depth head-to-toe structure for our 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's really good. Better than just being thrown in and being like, okay, learn as you go.
I think that the new grads that are coming through ICU this year are doing like a separate program to what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the TSP is like a lot in your grad year.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can't imagine actually working and doing all that additional study on top of it.
Yeah, well, it was lucky because we had study days when we were supposed to have our like online sessions. So that was cool. Because for the first like 10 weeks, we only worked 3 days a week, or 3 days 1 week, 4 days the next week.
Oh, nice. So you had like one like kind of study day a fortnight.
Yeah, and it was like a paid study day. So it was nice to be at home, but it was still like quite a lot of full-on learning, and we had an exam as well. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Being back at uni.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was good, but so much learning. But you need.
Sorry, you go.
No. Go.
I was just going to say, like, how did you cope with that, like, learning curve? Because, you know, it's quite a lot, and you've just obviously just done 3 years of study for nursing, and now you're learning all about, like, ICU, which is just a lot to learn.
Yeah, I think I just had to sit down and remind myself that, like, if I wasn't learning all this stuff, I would feel so much more, like, over my head.
Yeah.
I felt like it was really important to sit back and be like, everyone once started here.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone once didn't know everything. And I had to be like, okay, this person has worked here for 5 years. No wonder they know so much more than I do.
Yeah. Like I think that's really important.
Like I need to be able to step back and be like, you know what? You're doing a really good job. You're a grad in your second rotation, and you're doing the same learning package that essentially someone who's worked in the same hospital for 5 years.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, you're doing a really good job. It's really tough, and there's so, but we will get there. We just have to take it 1 week at a time.
Exactly. And I think that goes for just general like grad years. Yeah. I've been getting lots of messages about like, you know, I'm really nervous. Like people say it takes like 5-6 months to get comfortable in like, you know, your first rotation and then I'm gonna move. And I say, like, don't think about rotation two now because like, you know, right now you're just focusing on rotation one and don't get ahead of yourself because the first transition is so hard going from student to a nurse rather than rotation one to two when you're already a nurse and you already know how to do, you know, obs meds and all your time management sort of stuff and you know how to escalate stuff. You're just learning a different specialty. So I think people just need to just focus on the now and not think about, you know, what's going to happen in 6 months' time because that's a very long time away.
Yeah, and I also think that goes for people who didn't get their rotation where they wanted to be. And I think that would be like, that's really tough. And when people, I also get a lot of messages from people who are like, oh, like I'm going to rehab for my first rotation. Like I'm really disappointed. What can I do to make sure I'm going to ICU for my second rotation? And it's like, there are things that I wouldn't be able to do in rehab that you will learn how to do. You will have like such great time management, good like med giving skills. You'll be able to escalate when you think it's essential. And there are things that you will learn that other people won't know how to do. It's like take every day and every shift like a new learning experience. Don't think about the next rotation because you want to focus on exactly what's happening now and learn as much as you can now so that when you do move on, you feel a little bit more confident and competent, I guess.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, obviously rehab is like subacute and people, you know, obviously want to be in like an acute ward and things like that. But I think don't disregard what experience you're going to get from rehab. Like rehab might not be your end goal and that's totally fine, but you'll learn so much. Like I worked at rehab some shifts because that was in my pool cluster. And, you know, I had like the ratio was 1-5. So I had an extra patient. You know, I really knew I had to get all this done, so much more hygiene and really learning about, you know, skin assessments and, you know, pressure area care and, you know, how to, you know, sort of optimize and, you know, look after your patients in like a hygiene sort of way because that's a lot of what they need assistance with because I sort of gem rehab. And the thing is that's so important because you'll go to another ward and, you know, they might not get many patients that need pad changes or pressure area care, but you know how important that is. And you're going to be the one that's going to be advocating for your patient and saying, you know, we need to do this. We can't just let a patient sit in a, you know, a wet pad for 4 hours. Like, you know, I think you're going to learn so many great skills that are going to be transferable and you'll never forget that. Like you're always going to remember the basics of nursing. And I think that's what your grad year is all about, just learning, and you can do whatever you want afterwards.
Absolutely. There's literally no rush.
Yeah.
I feel like there is so much time to consolidate and learn. And I think that's also like super, super important. Like, you know, I couldn't look after 4 patients now. I've done 6 months only looking after maximum of 2. But I had like, I think I had pretty good time management skills when I did have 4. So like, that's a really great experience and I took that in with me and now I'm like better at doing cluster care and doing everything that I need to do at once as opposed to going in and out and in and out and in and out. But I did that only because I looked after 4 patients and I did my ward rotation.
Can you explain a bit more about cluster care? Because like that's what I sort of you know tell people, you know, you'll learn how to like time management and cluster care goes together because that's how you improve your time management. And like how would you describe cluster care? Because, you know, people are like, what's that? And I think, you know, that's really the key to nailing your time management is knowing how to do everything sort of at once. And
I think it's, well, the way that I think of cluster care is like, okay, if you need to do meds, a pad change, a wash, you need to change their feed bottle, and maybe you need to take bloods, we'll make sure that you've got everything ready and you go in and you go, okay, let's change them and give them a wash first. Then we'll give them their meds, do their feed. And then after that, we'll do bloods and then we'll move on to the next task. So it might seem like a lot at once, but you're getting all the things you need to do at once.
Exactly. And you're just ticking it all off your time planner. Yeah. And like you waste a lot of time going into a patient's room and they're like, oh, like I forgot that. Or maybe I should do bloods while I'm here. I'll go do it. And then you go out and then you come back in and you're like, oh my God, I forgot the pad. And then out you go, you know, and that's where you waste time is, you know, the distance you're walking between patient's room and, you know, the storeroom.
100%. And it's like, if you need someone to roll your patient with you, go and find that person and say, hey, in 10 minutes, I'm going to wash the front and then I need you to come in and be able to wash the back with me. Will you be ready in 10 minutes? Oh, no. Okay. Well, I'm going to do all my other stuff first and then you come in when you're ready.
Yeah.
It is something that you learn though. Even when I started RC, I was like, oh, got to do this. Oh, I've forgotten that. Oh, I've got to go back. Oh, sorry. I got to do this instead. And like, there's a trial and like error process.
Exactly.
But then you pick it up and you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think during your first, you know, few weeks, just focus on doing what you can. And, you know, I remember I used to do like everyone's obs, like all four patients' obs. And then I would then go do one med at a time. And that's fine if you want to do that. But now, like working cardiology, you know, I kind of decide which patient I think is kind of going to be like the easiest to sort of smash out first and sort of, you know, get them rolling. And, you know, I'll go do their obs, their meds, ECG all at once. And then they're done eating breakfast. And then I go to the next patient. And that way you're sort of getting it all done at once.
Yeah, 100%. I used to do it the opposite way and pick my heaviest patient first.
Oh, yes.
So if like they were full nursing care and needed a feed, I'd be like, okay, let me see if I can find someone who can feed you. So our fantastic Roussons, be like, hey, do you mind feeding my patient? I'm going to do their obs, get their meds ready so that whilst you're feeding, I can give them their meds and then they're done. And then I'll do everyone else's obs and meds exactly the same that you do, Mill. Work that out and then come back and be like, okay, let's wash him. And everyone else hopefully can be some form of independent.
Yeah.
Or supervision. But, yeah, delegation I think is also something that's super important when you're working on the ward. Have the access to support like Roussons.
So good. I've never actually worked with a Rousson on the ward.
Ah.
I think we were having some, you know, they were kind of like Roussons, but they were called pre-reg nurses and they were just people that had gotten into my hospital for a grad year and they were just starting like working as like literally like a Rousson early.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for cardiology, they must have thought that we don't really need that help, so we didn't get any.
Ah, bummer.
I know. But
I started as a Rousson. And I was a Rousson for 2 years, 3 years.
Wow.
I think maybe 2 years. And I absolutely loved it. Like, I think that like 95% of my time management came from watching the nurses.
Yeah.
And being like, okay, so this is how they tackle this. Or like, that's how I'm going to do it when I become a nurse. Or even we would work together and they'd be like, okay, I've got 3 full nursing care patients. This is how we're going to do it. And I'd be like, yep, I'll grab this, this, this. Let's do it together.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. I feel like because I was a Rousson as well for like, I don't know, like 6 months, but I just did temperature checking at the front door. It was very not exciting.
Yeah.
But I think there's so many more like opportunities thanks to COVID for nursing students. Like, you know, so many more Rousson positions, like, you know, vaccinating and swabbing, like literally so much. It's like, thanks COVID for that. You know, otherwise they would have probably would have never happened.
Yeah. I think it's a fantastic opportunity if you have access to it, or if there's jobs going around, even vaccinating, doing swabbing. Like, I still think it's such good hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And just like learning how to work as a team in like a healthcare environment. Even though you might not be directly looking after patients like a nurse, but you're still like learning so many important skills. So it's good.
Absolutely.
People were wanting to find out, like, what are sort of the expectations of grads in ICU? Like, are they understanding that you're going to be, you know, new and you don't know everything and you might need extra support? Obviously, this is all based on your own experience and every hospital might be different, but what do you think?
When we started, there was such a big emphasis on, like, escalate upwards. If you don't know, ask. Like, if you're unsure, ask, here is the staff assist, here is the emergency button.
Yeah.
Like, know that you are never alone and no question is a stupid question. And I think that's a really nice way to start. There was a lot of hand holding at the start. There was a lot of, do you think you can do this? Or like, are you sure you're going to be okay to do this by yourself? And you're like, yeah. It's the expectations aren't there at the start, but towards the end, you get to pick up a little bit more sicker patients. And I think your grad type kind of disappears off. And especially in like COVID times, we've had heaps of surge staff members. So people from the ward who've upskilled, or people from theatre who have been redeployed. And essentially we become more senior than they are.
Yeah.
So we have to pick up harder patients, which means that like you are exposed to, you know, more things that could go wrong. So, you know, you get better at escalating and saying, hey, I'm not sure, or hey, I need help, which has been really nice. But yeah, they're very gentle with their grads, well, at least my hospital is, because they want to foster like a good learning environment and they want to try and retain grads.
Exactly, yeah.
So that they can, you know, go on and stay. And so I think that they know that. So they are very nice to us.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, what's kind of like your favorite patient to look after, I suppose? Like, you know, what type of condition or like what post-surgery do you find like most interesting?
Post-op. I like the cardiothoracics post-ops.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't take like the fresh bypass patients because I don't have the scope or the skill capacity to take them just quite yet. But I think they'll be my favorite when I can take them. But I like the day one CAD. Or a Whipple's.
Nice.
Like a pancreas taken out kind of situation. They're always good patients. Or like a met call from the ward. They're always really good. Like a good septic patient is also really nice.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think that's why I'm sort of like, there's so many different types of patients, you know, that come through, and it's not just like one sort of specialty. It's just everything, and it's just, it'd be so good to just sort of branch out and learn about everything.
Well, yeah, I think that's why I love ICU so much, because when I did my first rotation on cardiothoracics, there comes a point where obviously you haven't seen everything, but you've taken a post-op. You know the signs to look for when they're starting to deteriorate. You see a lot of the same things over and over again, which is like completely fine. And it's nice because you become more confident in looking after those kind of patients. But I always wanted more.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see more things and I wanted to learn more things. So being in ICU where you get neuro, you get GIT patients, you get cardiothoracics, you get heart patients, we get gynae, we get maternity patients, and, of course, then we get COVID patients.
Love it.
But you get to see such a variety and you get to learn so much about so many different specialties. Like, I wouldn't touch a neuro patient ever if I had a choice to. They're just not my jam. But
yeah, I don't think that would be mine either. Seems just too heavy.
But being in ICU, I'm like, oh yeah, I can appreciate a good neuro patient because they have so much going on with them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could handle them on the ward.
No, imagine having like four of them.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh, my heart goes to people who love neuro. But I could never.
No. I guess this sort of leads on to like my next question, which is like, how did you know this was the right step for you to like become a critical care nurse so early on in your career?
I did my last placement as a student in the same ICU that I'm now going to be employed at.
Yep.
And I actually wanted an ED rotation instead of ICU. And I remember the feeling of being so gutted because I got ICU instead of ED.
Yeah.
But I remember at the end of my, like, my 5 weeks, I didn't want to go. I loved it. I loved the complexity. I loved the other staff there. I loved how I felt part of the team, even though I was a student.
Mm-hmm.
And the autonomy and how unwell the patients were. I just, like, loved it all. And then when I actually started there as a nurse, I was like, oh, I feel so over my head. I don't think I can do this. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. And it comes back to, like, what we were saying before. It has taken 6 months for me to, like, settle in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, no, I could see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Like, I love these sick patients. I love the one-to-one care. I love being able to sit there and sort out the lines from their CVC. I love being able to label all the infusions. And I love having 50 infusions running at once. I never thought I'd enjoy suctioning someone, but I love a good suction.
Like, that's the small things, but I hate that, suction.
It's like the small things you get in ICU. That,
yeah. Like,
and you can see when you do certain things that make an improvement. Like when you change someone from high flow to CPAP and you can see their sats improving and you can see the fluid shift. It's amazing. Or like when we put someone on dialysis, we can see their kidney function improve, not instantly, but within hours.
Yeah, I think it's just amazing, like, all the resources available, like all the machines and all the medications, just everything available to sort of keep people alive, yeah, and get them better. I think that's just incredible. You know, who thinks of all this stuff? You know, like,
yeah,
who designed all these meds that will do random things to people's blood pressures? Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy to comprehend, but it's really amazing.
Sometimes I take for granted, like, how sick my patients actually are, because you get one and you're like, oh no, this patient's really easy and really, like, chill. But on the ward, they would not be chill.
No.
So it's nice sometimes that you are one-to-one, because you get to sit back and, like, not digest, but you get to be like, okay, head-to-toe-wise, this patient's really good, so I'm going to do some extra learning about whatever condition they've come in with. Because sometimes people come in with such random things and you're like, okay, I have the time to actually sit down.
Yeah.
And, like, work through it. In saying that, though, it's not always like that. There's, like, some days you get lots of downtime and sometimes it's, like, so hectic that you're like, oh, my gosh, am I ever going to go for a break? But then someone
can
go for a break. But, yeah.
Amazing. I love hearing you sound so passionate about it.
Oh, it's, I know.
So nice.
I talk about it for hours. And I think that's why I'm so set on doing postgrad.
Yeah.
It's like, if I love it now, I may as well follow my passion for it. And then
exactly
in 10 years time, if I don't love it as much as I do now, I've got a really solid postgrad behind me and I can move on to somewhere else. You know, I've given it all I've got.
Exactly. And I think, you know, having critical care background, you can sort of go anywhere afterwards. Yeah. Like, you can move into ED if that's what you decide to, yeah, later. You can, I don't know, go rural and, you know, all this incredible knowledge about everything. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's like a really good foundation of knowledge. And I appreciate that. I love the learning side. So, yeah.
Amazing. My final question is, do you have any tips for anyone applying for, like, a TSP type program or a postgrad, and how to sort of stand out in your application?
Oh, I know a few people. I think there's a course through Melbourne Uni that you, mm-hmm, can, that has, like, an introduction into ICU. Obviously that costs money. So if, you know, you are inclined, you're more than welcome. I feel like that would help you stand out because you're showing that you're interested and you've gone out and done some learning.
Oh, that sounds interesting. So yeah, it's not like a formal sort of course.
I think it's, I don't know if it's like a grad cert or like something, but it's like a do it at your own pace online.
Oh, and you don't have to be employed in an ICU to sort of do it alongside.
No, and I think it's a really good, like,
Maybe I'll look at it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a really good, like, opening experience to ICU.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done it, but I'm sure there's people who have, who can speak about it. But yeah, I think like something like that, but also just showing initiative to, you know, want to do these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously no one just goes, oh, I want to do ICU because I think I kind of like it. You know, you want to be passionate about it. And I think passion is what stands out the most in interviews.
Yeah.
Apart from like a great CV, you know, everyone has to do professional development. So if you're interested in ICU, then maybe you need to do some PD relating to ICU, you know, looking at like signs of the deteriorating patient or that kind of stuff might be interesting to like put on your CV to be like, hey, I've done this, this, and this, to stand out. But yeah, just having like really good attitude to seek out learning opportunities, I feel like is really important too. If you're a grad who has the opportunity to do ICU as a rotation, speak to your educators and speak to the other staff and be like, oh, you know, like, I think this is what I want to do. What do you guys think? Do you think I'd be cut out for this? Do you think I wouldn't? What are some pros and cons? And show that you're interested in it, because that's essentially how I made it into my ICU, because I spoke to whoever I could about how much I wanted to be there.
That's so good. Yeah. It's amazing that they offer ICU for grads, because at my hospital they do not. That's the only area we can't go.
Yeah, I think they told the grads that are coming this year that they weren't going into ICU, and then we got the grad list and there's like 16 of them coming.
16? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know.
A lot. Like
16, and there was four of us this time. So there's going to be a lot more coming.
Yeah.
But welcome.
Amazing. That's so good. Do you have any sort of final words of wisdom or anything else you want to touch on following our chat?
I think it's more like this year, like for the grads or the students who are listening, like this year's going to be tough with COVID. But like all the stuff we've said before, just like take it easy on yourself. The saying, you know, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to look after or love anyone else? You got to look after yourself before you can look after others. So, you know, make sure you look after yourself and take it one shift at a time.
Yeah. And just debrief, chat to,
yeah,
you know, the other grads, because they're the ones that understand what you're feeling right now. You know, the nurse that has been working for 20 years, you know, she or he might have forgotten what it's like. And, you know, I think grads are like the best people to cling on to.
Or talk to the people who've literally just finished their grad year.
Yep.
They will also know exactly what you're going through.
Yes.
Exactly the feelings that you're feeling. And it's okay to feel overwhelmed and stressed and anxious. But, yeah, definitely reach out and talk to people. That's what's important.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Nina. I've loved this chat so much.
Oh, it was so good.
Thank you. Yeah, and you can follow her. I think she's Nina the RN.
Yes.
Amazing. And we can follow your postgrad journey.
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much again.
Thanks, Mil.
Bye.
Bye.